Blog Talk Radio.
Readers Entertainment Radio, where variety is the spice of life.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Readers Entertainment Radio. I am your host, Lisa Watson. And I have to tell you, if everyone's week is going much like my week, then you are pooped, you're ready for the weekend, and you're looking forward to a couch, blanket, and lots of quiet. But if you're the kind that loves curling up with a great book when you relax, then you are in for a treat. My guest this evening loves action, love in unusual settings. She's an author that writes Western historical, Highland historical, and contemporary romance. So she writes something that every reader is sure to enjoy. Most days she can be found in her pajamas hiding from delivery men while drinking tea from her David Gandy coffee mug. In the afternoon, she browses the internet for semi-nude men to post on Facebook. We're going to ask her about that soon. Her favorite pastimes are romance conventions, traveling, shopping, and reading. In fact, I met her at the RT Book Lovers Convention in Dallas, so I can definitely attest to that. So it is my pleasure to welcome Hildy McQueen to the show this evening. Welcome, Hildy.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here tonight.
Well, thank you so much for joining me, especially since you said you were feeling a little bit under the weather, so I am doubly happy to have you tonight.
Well, good. Thank you. Yes, I'm getting over a cold. I think it's that time of the year where everybody's sick or getting over one.
Yeah, absolutely. Even in North Carolina here, it's pretty cold, and I went out. Usually I'm just used to going out with a light jacket or, you know, a sweater or something like that. So I was outside today to go get the mail, and I'm like, whoa, it's a little chilly.
Yes, and we have to put on jackets and scarves to go check the mail in the South, which is different for us.
Yeah, indeed. So, Hildy, can you tell your listeners a little more about you and when you decided that you were going to give this writing thing a go?
Well, you know, every time I'm asked that question, I think I really need to prepare for it. But I grew up in California on both sides of the border, right on the very edge of San Diego. So from my house, I could see Mexico. My mother was born and raised in Mexico. So and I was born in Mexico, actually, but we lived right on the other side of the border. So I grew up in a very multicultural area that San Diego is. It's got a lot of newcomers. And so I've always liked to, in spite of all that, I guess I got a lot of my education earlier from reading. And I've always loved reading. I've always loved learning English and writing and that sort of thing. So ever since high school, I've always written little short stories and stuff like that. So to pinpoint when I started writing, seriously writing romance, I guess it wasn't until maybe 8 years ago.
Okay.
So,
So, Hildy, what sparked your interest in writing historical novels in the Western and the Highland time frame? And which genre would you say was the one that really put you on the map as a published author?
Okay, well, my love for historical came from reading. And in high school, I read Gone with the Wind like 6 times. I always had that book with me. And I just was so in love with being transported to a different era. And I still am, because when I write, I feel like I'm transported to that era. And, you know, I just become totally immersed in it. And so that's what sparked my love of historicals to begin with, and especially Highlander historicals. That, to me, is just so romantic, you know? Who doesn't want a Highlander? And, of course, the all-American hero, the cowboy, and going back and finding out what it would be like to be romanced by one of these all-American heroes is also something that just yelled for me. So I guess a little bit of those two genres is really what I got published, and my bestseller was a historical Western, and then right after that I published a couple of Highlanders, and they kind of go neck and neck, so it's hard to say which one of those two genres. But.
Cool. Well, Hilda, your latest novel, Judith, Bride of Wyoming, centers on a mail-order bride. So tell us a little more about Judith and what makes her decide to marry a man she's never met.
Can you imagine that? I can't.
I can't, and I've seen my and read my fair share of, you know, historical romances and stuff where, you know, people really don't know each other, and they, you know, end up married, and then you're having to, you know, I think one of my favorite lines in Pride and Prejudice is when Charlotte says, you know, hey, you can get to know them after the marriage.
I know, and it's true, and regardless of the fact that even though mail order bride sounds so foreign to us, you know,
it's
marriages
really
have been arranged
not.
Between, people, and marriages were arranged and still are in some cultures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, since the beginning of time, and people lots of times did not meet, or they met as children and then didn't meet again until the wedding day. So it's really, but to me, it is a foreign concept. Judith is ahead of her time, actually, for being in the 1800s. She works at a factory. She owns her own, lives with roommates, you know, and in Massachusetts, in Boston. And when the factory burns down suddenly, a bunch of the women are find themselves without jobs.
Right.
So it's kind of a peer pressure thing almost, like somebody brings out the groom's gazette and they all start talking about, well, this is going to be an option for us to do, to just, let's get married and go out west. So I really think that because of her being already independent, she already supported herself, that if things would not have worked out with her intended out west in Wyoming, she would have still been okay because she was pretty feisty woman for that age.
Now, this is her first marriage, correct?
Correct, yes. She's young.
Wow.
She's in early 20s and goes out west to get married to this man that she corresponded with a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, and the guy's dead, but...
Now that is an interesting twist. Can you just imagine just going across the country? You are traveling and you don't know anybody, and you've just corresponded with this guy, so you've kind of got to know him a little bit, and so you kind of are nervous and anticipating meeting him, and you get there and he's dead. So you're like, now what?
Now what? Yeah, exactly. And
that is probably
terror. I would imagine so. There's so many women that did it, though. There were so many mail order brides then, and, you know, very brave, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I mean, I just, maybe last year, I think I was watching television and actually saw a documentary where a lot of Eastern European women were actually mail order brides to American men. And so they followed maybe like a couple of them through their whole journey from being in Russia and in different parts of Eastern Europe, and then having to kind of, you know, come here temporarily, like just for a couple of weeks. And you had to decide at the, you know, before, you know, your visa ran out, are you going to get married or are you going to go back home? And so I was watching that. I mean, this is recent, so this is not something that's, you know, hasn't, you know, has happened like years and years and years ago. This is very recent. And so I was looking at that. I'm like, wow, I can't even imagine what happens if you two don't hit it off or you don't connect or, you know, there's no chemistry there. So for Judith to kind of, you know, just up and leave everything she knows is definitely very brave and commendable.
Oh, it definitely is, especially for that back in those days when, you know, their options, even, you know, as far as women's rights are so limited. But, you know, I think for the most part, a lot of them made a pretty good go of it. The men were, there weren't that many women, so men were really appreciative of having a woman around. So many of them were very coveted and well-treated because of that, you know.
Now, Hilde, this novel is book 44 in the American Mail Order Bride series. So what do you think makes these novels so popular with readers?
Well, I think that what me and you just discussed, it makes us just think about what if, you know, this was me, what I would do it, and just going through the different experiences, because everyone, you know, writes a different bride, and every bride has a different story. As far as the series goes, it's been really popular, and it's done really well.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you know, but we wrote it in sequential order of the order in which every state joined the union.
Oh,
so
wow.
Yeah, so
that's
we had the
neat.
Bride of Massachusetts and the bride of, you know, Rhode Island. And every single state has had a bride. And we have a very, mail order brides, there's a very small niche. It's a niche within the Western historical romance genre. And the niche is even smaller when you get to mail order brides. And then mail order brides that go west is even smaller. But those
right,
are loyal,
so.
Avid, voracious readers. And they love their mail order brides.
Wow, that is really neat. Before we get wrapped up hearing more from author Hildy McQueen, I'd like to let listeners know that our live chat session is open. You're welcome to comment or ask questions there. And you can also call us at area code 646-200-4071. And after the live show, I will be posting the podcast and recap blog to readersentertainment.com. And for those listeners that would like to learn more about Hildy as we're chatting with her, you can check out her website, and it is www.hildymcqueen.com. So, Hildy, can you tell us a little bit more about the hero of the book, Sean Montgomery? What set of circumstances does he find himself in, and why is Judith the answer to his prayers?
Well, as we talked about, her intended is dead. So she's at the station, and she is going through the, okay, what am I going to do now stage. When the man that works at the box office, or an older man, comes upon her and says, I think I know. He calls a little young boy over and sends him over to the blacksmith. So the blacksmith is Sean Montgomery, and Sean is was a confirmed bachelor, has no prospects of marriage, obviously, since there's not that many women around.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to a local post, a cavalry post, to shoe some horses. And I don't know if you know, but back in those times, they had, you know, the soiled doves, as they were, the women
mm-hmm.
of ill repute. They used to follow the camps. And so he kind of spent some of his money before he returned to town.
mm-hmm.
And a few months later, baby was dropped off on his doorstep and left there, and supposed to be his daughter. So he's a single dad trying to make it. So he's a little bit out of his element, too, for that day and age. And his sister helps him with his sister helps him with the baby, but at night he takes care of his daughter. So this little boy runs over and tells him, Mr. Watson over at the station says that he's got a bride for you, or he's got, you know, an answer to your prayer, somebody there.
Of course, you know,
so
it's a small town.
Right. So he goes over there to see about this woman that's supposedly going to help, you know, answer his prayers of helping him with the baby. And so that's how him and Judith kind of get to know each other. And of course, that she can't come live with them unless they're married. So the sister insists that they must be married.
Talk about trial by fire.
Exactly. And I thought I'd like to just throw those little curves in there. So it turns out that she ends up marrying somebody that she wasn't even planning to marry, and he ends up getting married when he didn't plan on it.
You know, you mentioned earlier that in addition to the Wild West, you also write about Highlander. So can you tell listeners a little bit more about one of your recent novels set in that genre?
Yes, I actually wrote a book called The Wolf of Skye, and it was a book that I had to write based around the idea of a wishing well. So it was
mm-hmm.
fun to write a historical with a little bit of a magical element.
Yeah.
And so The Wolf of Skye is this second-born son. And the reason it's called The Wolf of Skye, because his name is Fowlin, which in Scottish means little wolf. And so he goes up from the Isle of Skye, and he travels across Scotland to find this mysterious well, because he wants to have this girl fall in love with him and find his true love, and because she's supposed to marry his brother. So across he goes, and he gets to this well, and just before getting there, he meets a woman. And so when he makes this wish, he's not specific enough. He wants to marry the love of his life. He didn't specifically ask for the girl back home, so his wish does come true, but it's not exactly what he expects.
Right. So, you know, he got caught on a technicality.
Exactly. And, you know, so I like to throw those little twists. And so he meets this fiery-haired lass who's dancing atop a table in a pub, and his brother is upset and trying to take her down from the table. So
of course.
It's really funny. And so she thinks that this guy that's sitting with her brother is supposed to marry, you know, is going to be the one that she's supposed to marry, that the brother brought her a husband. So she announces it to the whole pub, and everybody's slapping him on the back and wishing him well and good luck in taming this fiery lass. And he's going, I'm just looking for a well.
Right. I just want a well. That's all. I'm not trying to get a bride on my way to the well.
Right. So it's a cute story. I really had fun writing it. Of course, she lies to him and tells him she knows where the well is, and she's going to help him find the well. And so
now, Hilde, you mentioned that you love writing about action, love, and unusual places. So I want to know, how unusual is unusual? And tell us a little bit more about these interesting locales that find their way into your novels.
Well, I think I do unusual, and sometimes it backfires on me. I'll make up places. Usually, like in my westerns, I find a specific location and I make up a little town near there, and you know, and,
mm-hmm.
and I do the same thing with Scotland. I base a lot of my stories on this fictional area called Moray,
mm-hmm.
that I made up. And the funny thing is that I went to look at this area in Montana where I have this entire series based, and there was this little tiny mining town called Alder Gulch, and I thought, oh, that's good, because that town flourished when the gold rush came, and then it kind of died. So I don't know if you can hear.
I hear Pepito and Lola.
Yes, somebody dares, yeah. So anyway, I thought, well, this would be good because it's a dead town, and I'll just base it on this fictional society that's still blooming in the 1860s.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, no big deal, until I got a note from a reader that said, hey, I live in Alder Gulch. And I was like, what? I thought it was dead.
No way.
Yeah, and I was just like floored. And she said, you did such a good job of describing the surroundings and everything. I'm like, really?
Wow.
It was crazy.
I mean, that's the highest form of compliment, I think, for an author.
It
when,
is, because I'm
you
a,
know, you're
yeah.
just going by research most of the time. You know, we're on the internet, we're looking for things, and you try to be as detailed as you can.
Right.
And so I think when someone says, hey, you nailed it, you really got it, and that's exactly the way it is, you're just like, yay! All that research paid off.
She just loved it. It did. She just said it was so great. Well, it helps that. And my brother-in-law and sister-in-law live in Montana, and I thought, they never told me. They never said anything. So I thought it was funny.
Now, Hilde, you know we couldn't get too far in our chat without me asking you about the David Gandy coffee mug that you have. So what I want to know is he motivation for some of your novels, or would that job be the semi-nude men on Facebook you're looking for? Give us the deal on that.
They
What's up with the David Gandy
bug? David Gandy, I definitely have a type. And David Gandy is like my type and personified. And it's so funny because I have to stop myself from describing all my heroes as being tall, dark-haired with bright blue eyes. Because all my heroes end up being David Gandy. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
he's the most popular male model in the world, probably.
Yeah. He is very nice to look at.
Yes, my husband is tall with dark hair and green eyes, so he's not too far from my ideal type.
Yeah.
As far as the men on Facebook, a lot of them, you know, I have to force myself to put blondes up every once in a while, but a lot of those guys I like to put up only because I love men. I think they're so pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, you know, inspirational.
It's funny because, yeah, as far as, you know, a tall, dark, and handsome type of guy, I'm not really into blonde. So occasionally one makes it in the pack, and I'm, like, dumbfounded. Because, like, so far it's just like Chris Hemsworth is on my very high, high blonde guy.
Yes.
Would love to get a mug type of thing going on. But
that's true.
I'll just have to contend myself with, you know, all the DVDs I have with Thor in them. But anyway.
So you like the tall, dark, and handsome, too?
Oh, yeah. I grew up in the 80s, so I was all about Remington Steele and Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah.
And so that was my tall, dark, handsome, dark hair, blue eyes.
Definitely. Yeah.
Type of thing. So, yeah. So anyway, we digress. For those of you just tuning in, I am speaking with romance author Hildy McQueen about her latest novel, Judith, Bride of Wyoming, which is 44 in the American Mail Order Bride series. So Hildy, tell us more about this superhero husband of yours. And does he view David Gandy and the other men on Facebook as research?
Well, my husband is a superhero, and I always tell everybody that I am so blessed. Not only is he good looking, but he's a chef, loves to cook, and he's a meat freak, so he's always going around. He vacuums and does laundry, and I'm like, sometimes I feel like, what am I doing here? Sitting here writing and looking pretty, I guess. So I am very blessed, and he is so hilarious. I mean, he always tells me that. He goes, I can't wait to be there because the day you meet David Gandy, you're going to be passed out on the ground, and me and him are going to take a selfie so I can share it with you later.
Yeah, once you wake up, right?
Exactly. And yeah, and he goes to conventions with me, and it's funny because we went to in detail, and he got to meet Michael Foster and Brad Katz, who are two tall, beautiful men. One of them has a long black hair that goes down past his shoulders, and the other one is a blonde. He always poses for biking covers and that kind of stuff. And it's so funny because I'm sitting there and I'm like waiting for, and Kurt's standing beside me, and then they all start talking about The Walking Dead, and they walk off without me. And so I'm like, wait.
You're like, whoa, wait a sec.
So, no, he is not threatened at all by those guys. And now that he's met quite a few cover models. We had one here at the house once. And so he's, you know, first of all, they're young enough to be our kids. So,
well, that is
and
true.
Second of all, they're, yeah. Yeah, so we, yeah, he thinks it's hilarious and funny.
So aside from the David Gandy mug, what's another thing that you've got to have while you're writing and why?
One of the things, I have a very short attention span, so I have to have the internet off and no music because I'll be writing and all of a sudden I'll start writing the lyrics of the song, you know, or whatever, or start singing and forget what I'm writing. So it's funny because people come to my house and it's silent. There's no TV on, no radio, nothing. Every once in a while the dog's barking at passersby, but I write in total silence. I drink tea and water and snack on sour candy. I love sour candy. And that's all I do when I'm writing.
Now, one of the interesting points about you is you have a little bit of an obsession. So can you disclose what that is to our listeners and why it's the first thing you notice?
I am obsessed with purses. If you look in my closet, you'll be like, oh, my God. Sometimes I look in there and I feel like such a loser. I have, like, my T-shirts will have a hole in them. I'm like, I need to buy a new blouse, but I'll have purses that are still in the bag.
To go with my purse.
With tags, and yes. And when I see a lady, a woman, or anybody in the street, I just look at their purse first. I love being at airports. I can see what kind of purses people are carrying. And yeah, I don't know why it is, but I love purses and totes and all that kind of thing.
Now, tell us a little bit more about the alpha males in your novel. Are they perfect in every way, or do they have a few flaws?
Oh, good question. question. You know, that's one thing I hadn't thought about. And when I think about my heroes, I'm like going through them one by one. And I think most of them, I've been and worked around men for 30 years. So I was in the military and worked around military men. So I have it's funny because sometimes I have an easier time writing the men than I do the heroes, than I do the heroines, because I can see things from a male point of view. But I think a lot of them have fallacies, little flaws here and there. My one hero that has in Beauty and the Highlander, that he has a big scar, but the scar on his face is not as big as the scar in his being, because he kind of hides behind the scar and uses this as an excuse for why things don't work out for him. And so that's one hero that he's definitely very alpha, but, you know, is scarred. And then in my contemporary book, Even Heroes Cry, my hero has PTSD. So he is, he was one of those heroes that that was raw and had to kind of open a lot of different wounds of my own as being prior military to write him. Mm-hmm. And so, but, you know, in writing people that have flaws, you bring more of the character out. So, I don't think I have a perfect hero that doesn't have some kind of something wrong with him. You know, even the perfect, beautiful men in my stories, whether it's
which
ego
is cool,
or
you
something.
Know, everybody can't be perfect.
Exactly.
I mean, me personally, I think it's pretty, you know, it's definitely something that I like is, you know, men that have flaws that aren't perfect and they've got, you know, baggage and issues, just like, you know, women,
oh, yeah.
I'm not saying as much as, but, you know, it's just nice to see every so often, you know, somebody's got a thing going on and it's not like all, you know, just, oh, wonderful, never does anything wrong, doesn't snore, doesn't drool.
Right. And the whole thing, too, is that, you know, I know that we read to escape, so we don't want these guys not to be beyond redemption. But at the same time, you know, they can't be so perfect that they're so far-fetched that we're going, yeah, right.
Exactly. So, Hildy, can you give readers a sneak peek into what you're working on next?
Well, speaking of the guy, Even Heroes Cry, I just started outlining, and by outlining I mean I write like one or two sentences saying they walk into a coffee shop and that should be my first chapter because I don't know what's going to happen after that until I start writing.
Right.
But I'm a very loose outliner. So
yeah,
I just started working on the third book in the Fords of Nashville, which is a contemporary series. And the first one is Adam Ford, who is the war hero that came back. The second one is his brother, who happens to be a movie star, and he's loosely based on Jensen Ackles of Supernatural, because that's another guy I'm obsessed with. And then the third one is the one I'm about to write, and that's the oldest brother. His name is Tristan Ford, and he's the pretty much like the head of the brothers, the oldest, and he runs a multi-million dollar corporation. So I'm really excited about bringing this man out of his suit.
Cool. Now, are there any upcoming events you'd like to share with listeners?
Yes, well, if anybody lives in the Augusta, Georgia area, the Augusta Literary Festival is on March 6th, which is a Saturday. And myself, along with, I think, 20 authors are going to be there. CJ Lyons will be here. It's just going to be a lot of fun. It's a very casual all-day event that you can just come in and stroll, talk to writers, and you know, purchase books or just take pictures, that kind of thing. So it'll be a lot of fun. And it's exciting for me because it's a local event here in my town. So I get to meet a lot of the local readers. And, you know, it's close enough from Savannah and Charleston and Atlanta and maybe even your town. But
yeah, really.
That people
cool.
can come. Yeah, so, yeah, I'm really excited about that. So that's on March 6th, the Augusta Literary Festival.
Great. Now, can you let listeners know how to get in touch with you?
Sure. They can Facebook. I'm a Facebook junkie, so they can private message me there, or they can email me through my website, hildymcqueen.com.
Cool.
Or they can all kinds of things. Send me a courier pigeon. I've never got one of those.
Well, Hildy, thank you so much for joining us tonight. It has been such a pleasure having you with me.
It was fun. I look forward to seeing you again.
Yeah, you'll see me in Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Well, I would like to, yeah, absolutely. I'd like to thank our listeners for joining us here at Readers Entertainment Radio this evening. Don't forget, you can find us at readersentertainment.com. You can check out the recap blog of Hildy's show later this evening. And if you'd like, you can leave a comment about tonight's show. We would love to hear from you. So tune in next Thursday. It will be our In Faith Network show, and my guest will be Christian author Erin Weideman. So check her out. I am your host, Lisa Watson, saying thank you for joining me tonight. Be inspired and happy reading. Good night, Hildy.
Good night.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.